Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 35 to 50. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. What you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit corruption. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, through whom all who believe in him will be made alive again, dear fellow redeemed. What kind of bodies will we have in heaven? What about those who die crippled or maimed or deformed or blind or deaf? What about those who have had an amputation or a crippling disease? What about those who die in an explosion or in a fire or who are lost at sea? How can there be a resurrection of a dead body and all that's left is dust? Well, these and more questions plagued some of the Corinthian Christians as they contemplated this mystery of the resurrection. Their observation of life was very simple logic. The body dies, the body decays. That's the way it's always been. But the resurrection is not logical truth. It's spiritual truth. Spiritual truth which needs to be nourished and encouraged by the Word of God, or else it'll be beat down by the logic of reason which denies spiritual truth. And so it was that some in Corinth denied, doubted, or at least questioned the teaching of the resurrection of the dead body. This morning we're studying the fourth portion of Paul's wondrous resurrection chapter, chapter 15. So far in the first three portions, the last 3 weeks, we've learned these marvelous truths. Christ's resurrection is an irrefutable historical fact, for he's seen by many witnesses. Secondly, deny the resurrection of the dead, and you deny Christ's resurrection. Thirdly, Christ's resurrection, bodily resurrection, assures us of our bodily resurrection as well. In this fourth section of Paul's 15th chapter, Paul describes the bodily resurrection using the analogy of a plant. And that's why our theme this morning is What can a plant teach us about our resurrected body? Paul begins this chapter 15, this section, with these questions. But some will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Paul has spent 34 verses explaining the resurrection. But he realizes that there's always someone who's doubting and comes along and says, well, but, he's made it pretty clear. But since the people didn't understand the manner of the resurrection, they began to doubt and deny the fact of the resurrection. And so they began to question Paul. It's like they were saying, okay, Paul, we can see there may be a resurrection, but what about the bodies? How can a body be raised when it starts to decay immediately and all that's left is a bunch of rotten bones and dust? And then all those questions that we asked at the beginning of the sermon, how can those bodies be raised? What will they be like? And we ask those questions too. So Paul answers the question by leading them to think about something that they're all very, very well aware of, and so are you and I, and that's planting seeds. Many plant seeds for their livelihood, farmers. Most of us plant seeds for our flower gardens or our vegetable garden. And we know that the seed first has to decay in order for the plant to grow. Without the first seed dying first, there'll be no plant. And what comes out the ground? What sprouts? A seed? No, a completely different thing. It's leaves, stalk, trunk, fruit. And so our theme again this morning, what can a plant teach us about our resurrected body? Paul's first point is, what is planted is different from what grows. We read again verses 36 to 38. Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All of what Paul has just written here is very observable to all of us when we put a seed in the ground. It is beyond our understanding. Even today, scientists are baffled by the miracle of the life within a seed. The seed's planted, it rots, then it grows, it becomes a plant that produces fruit or flowers and even more seeds. Why? What makes it grow? What makes it be able to know what kind of plant to become? What gives it the ability to grow how big and how much fruit to produce and where to find nourishment? Scientists today can describe things with very precise terms, but they cannot explain why it happens in the seed. They know that seeds have the ability to do that. They don't know why they have that ability. Fate. Evolutionary process. Paul tells us, God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. Remember Genesis 1? And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields free seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself, according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. God has planned and decreed it, and so it is. Paul says the nature all around us also shows us about the resurrection. We read in verses 39 to 41, for all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another flesh of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. If God could give living creatures different kinds of bodies and different ways of life, then why can't God also give us a resurrected body, Paul is saying. The difference in bodies can also be seen in heavenly bodies, celestial bodies, and in earthly bodies. Paul especially points out to the glory and the grandeur and the splendor. The sun has a splendor of its own. It's one big, huge, massive ball of gas that heats up and lightens our solar system. But the moon also has a glory of its own. It reflects the sun, and it shines brightly during the night sky. If God's able to provide different kinds of bodies for different kinds of flesh, or animals and birds and men, and different kinds of flesh bodies, then why can't God also provide a different kind of body in the resurrection? So Paul's saying, why do you doubt that there can be another body resurrected from a lump of clay that is decayed, old, mortal body? That leads Paul to the second point. Remember, his first point was, what is planted is different from what grows. A seed doesn't grow, a plant grows. The second point is, our bodies will be different too. We read, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. If it's true of plants, and if it's true of heavenly and earthly planets, it's also true of our bodies. Paul is saying to these Corinthians who doubted, yes, it's true. Our bodies die in corruption. Yes, they die in weakness. They die in dishonor. And in just a few short moments, a few short days, they'll begin to decay and stink and rot unless we dress them up for the funeral and bury them. But the great news is that this corruptible body shall be raised in incorruption. And this dishonored body will be raised in honor. And this weak body will be raised in power. And so Paul sums it all up by saying, we'll have different bodies than the ones that died, just like the plants. We now have a natural body. A natural body has flesh and blood and organs and bones and muscles and veins and hair and all the rest that we have. In the resurrection, we'll have a spiritual body. Not like angels, because they're spirits. They have no body. This is a spiritual body. Literally means a glorified body. Just like Christ. We won't be spirits of a spiritual body. Paul wrote in Romans, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. He also wrote to the Philippians, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able to subdue all things to himself. In this life, our natural body has a life spirit. That's a soul, which dwells within our physical being. This soul makes our flesh and blood a living being. It includes our personality, our self-consciousness. This soul is in all living human beings. Without the soul, the body's dead. That's our natural body. But within this natural body also is the Holy Spirit, for those who believe in Christ, who has created in us a new man which believes in Jesus Christ and makes us children of God. This new man controls our actions, our thoughts, our being, but not perfectly. In the resurrection, the resurrected body that we shall have, this new spiritual body which we shall have, the new man controls perfectly in perfect joy, perfect obedience, perfect peace and happiness. And finally, Paul says, to help explain the natural body and the spiritual body, Paul goes on with his third point, we will be like Christ when he rose from the dead. We read, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Adam was made a living being who had life breathed into him, which was his soul. We read in Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And through Adam, all human beings become living beings made of the earth. But Christ is a life-giving spirit. He creates the resurrection life which flows from his own resurrected life. Now, earlier in this chapter, Paul wrote, "For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive again." Through Jesus, all human beings who believe in him shall become resurrected, everlasting, living beings. Paul, in essence, is saying that our natural body has an earthiness to it. Adam was earthy, meaning made from the earth. So also, we came from Adam, and we are made from the dust of the ground. But also, our whole concern of life is of the earth. Without Jesus Christ coming into our hearts, all we know is earthly things, physical things, things of this life. And I'm sure you know many friends, maybe family members, neighbors. They know nothing about the spirit. They know nothing about the hereafter. They live only for this earth. They have earthly joys and happiness, but concerns and sorrows and misery too, because earth is all they know. They are unspiritual. Only when the Holy Spirit enters into our hearts do we go beyond being earth-born creatures, earth-bound creatures, and know about spiritual matters. Everlasting life, forgiveness, salvation, who God is, what Jesus has done for us. For in Adam, we are all earthy creatures, and we shall return to dust. But we've been brought to faith in Christ, have Jesus as our spiritual life. Just like each of us has a body like Adam's, and resemble Adam in our sinfulness of our flesh, and will also die and return back to the earth as Adam did, so also someday we shall have a body just like Jesus, resembling his resurrected body and his perfection. It's all true. Whether we can comprehend or figure it out or not, we shall be like Christ when our resurrection frees us from this sorry, earthbound existence that we have right now. Paul wrote in his second letter to these same Corinthians, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." And the Apostle John wrote in his first epistle, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, on judgment day, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." There's one verse left in our text, which is the end of this fourth section, and the beginning of Paul's fifth and final section of this chapter, which we'll be meditating on next Sunday, and that's verse 50. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit corruption." This is Paul's way of saying, okay, let me put it really simply to you. As simple as I can. Flesh and blood, which we have now, will not be the same in the resurrection. This body of mine and of yours is filled with sin. It's racked with sin. Sin throughout my thoughts, my being, it cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Our bodies must and will be changed in the resurrection. For the perishable cannot inherit, the perishable cannot inherit the imperishable. How this can be? How this can happen? With God, all things are possible. Amen. the peace of God which passes understanding will keep our hearts and minds centered in our resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.